All right. Good morning, church. Welcome to Youth Sunday. We hope you'll join with us as this is an all youth-led Sunday, including the worship team, the people that are bringing the children's message, prayer, everything in between that we could get our youth to do. They will be doing roles for this Sunday. So we're excited that y'all are here. Will you stand and join us for worship?
No clouds inside.
Children, if you'd come forward.
Good morning. My mic's on. Awesome. Come on, microphone. All right. So that means it today is officially. We don't even got it this summer. There we go. It's summer. And that means for me, I don't have to carry around my backpack. So you know I'm in high school, right? You want to? Can someone get my high school backpack for me? Can I have a volunteer to get that for me? Oh my goodness, it's so heavy, isn't it? Whoa.
I heard that you carry a lot of books.
I do. I carry a lot of textbooks in here. But do you want to see the real reason why it's so heavy? Thank you for your help.
Because something's in it.
Let's see what something's in it. Let's see. Rocks, that's right. What does this rock say? Lying. What? Do you know what lying means? It means not telling the truth. Have y'all ever lied before? You know, one time? Every day? You lie every day? That's not good. Well, good thing you're not lying about that. You know, one time I lied to my mother because I didn't want to get in trouble. Y'all do that too sometimes? But in the Bible it says, Ephesians 4:15, we are able to speak the truth in love if we want to grow in Christ. That's a good one. Let's see. All right, so let's see. Let's do another one. What is this rock? This is a heavy one. It says worry. We worry sometimes. You know, sometimes life just seems out of control, and I forget that God can handle anything. In the Bible, it says in Matthew 6, Jesus told his followers not to worry because God knows what we need, and he will care for us. Let's see another one. This one, unkind words. Ow, ouch, this rock hurts because... Do words hurt sometime?
Yes.
Yes. Have you all ever said unkind words to someone else or about someone?
No.
You never have?
Friend.
Your friend did?
My brother said that one day.
Oh, your brother? You know, Proverbs 12:18 says that words can stab like a sword, but it also says that kind words can heal. All right. What's this one? Cheating. Have y'all cheated on a test before? Yes. Well, good thing he's not lying. So cheating, that's not good to cheat. And James 4:17 says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, it is sin. Oh, no, I got way more than, oh, this is guilt. Have you ever felt guilty of something that you did over an action? You know, while we can't avoid guilt and discouragement in all situations, we are told through Scripture to trust in Jesus and His promises for us. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. That one's pointy. This is pointy. Which one's this one? Oh, thank you. This one, arguing. Have you ever argued before? Yes, you're so happy about that.
I argue with my mom.
You argue with your mom. It's not good to argue. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Oh, thanks for your help. This one is selfishness. Have you ever been selfish before? No, you never have? Are you lying? Your brother has? Mm-mm. Your brother has. So that's pretty selfish because sometimes we don't like to share things, right? And then in Proverbs 22:9 says, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. That's a good verse. This one, disobeying. Have y'all disobeyed before? Yes. No, you haven't, but you have.
You have.
You know, and disobeying Luke 11:28, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Wow. So getting rid of all those heavy rocks made my backpack lighter. Can you carry that better now? Wow. That makes it so much better. But what am I going to do with all these rocks? What am I going to do with them?
Put it in the dumpster.
Put it in the dumpster? Let's read the Bible. So Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, just like my backpack it is now. That's so good. You know, so sometimes we walk around carrying a heavy load because we are holding on to sin or worry or troubles. But instead of giving them to Jesus, like we should give them to Jesus. That's not what God wants us. He wants us to bring all our burdens to Him. So he has promised to take our heavy load and give us rest. That is an amazing thing, isn't it? Yes. So, all right, let's pray. Thank you, God, for promising to take our heavy burdens so we don't have to carry them. We bring them to you now, our worries, our guilt, our actions, and words that hurt others and make you sad. Give us rest. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to Children's Church.
Good morning, church. Rise as we say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This weekend we're celebrating Memorial Day. And as we pray today, we want to honor the people who have given their lives for the freedom of our country. And if you have lost someone in the military, would you please stand so we can honor you at this time? Thank you. We also want to pray for the students and families who have lost loved ones in the Uvalde shooting that occurred earlier this week. We want to pray for that community and pray for the police officers who were involved in that and pray for all the families going through that this week. The Ministerial Alliance has connected with our church and requested that we pray for discernment, strength, for wisdom and knowledge and how to bless our community. The main focus of this ministry at the moment is keeping open doors to our children and youth throughout the summer and keep them away from the prying eyes of the media. Close your eyes and bow your head as we pray. Dear God, thank you so much for allowing all of us in this room to live in a free country. Thank you for allowing us to have peace. I pray for those who are not able to get that, and I pray for the families who lost people in the military. I also pray for all families involved in the Uvalde shooting or any families going through grief right now. I pray that you would lift our burdens today so we're not focusing on them, so we're focusing on the lesson. I pray for Shauna as she leads our worship today and our lesson. I pray that we're not hearing her words, we're hearing yours. And I pray that you help us throughout this next week and through all of summer to stay on the right track. Amen. Now for the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
All right, and as we move into our next worship time, we do have our offering plates out on the kneeling rail, and then also there's a screen above me, hopefully, or behind me, where you can give your tithes electronically, either by downloading our app or texting to that number. But if you would stand and join us as we continue to worship. So we did this song last year when we did Youth Sunday, and it's one that we've done for a really long time now, and it's one that we really, really enjoy. And so I'm going to go over the chorus again as a refresher, and then we will sing as a body as we continue in worship. So the chorus goes, so I will cast my cares on you, the Almighty. I will cast my cares on you, 'cause you're good. I will cast my cares on you, 'cause you love me. You love me. Whoa, whoa, because you love me. Whoa, whoa, may be seated.
Okay, good morning, everyone. And good morning to our online viewers. We are happy that you can worship with us this morning. So like Brent said, this morning is Youth Sunday. And so we usually actually leave this open to our seniors to preach, and both our seniors didn't want to preach. So Brent asked me, hey, Shauna, do you want to preach? And I told him no. And then that small voice in the back of my head was like, that was the wrong answer. And I was like, no, I really think that was the right answer. And it was like, nope. So I went back and I was like, I guess I will preach. So I am going to do my best this morning, but if y'all will bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much that we can come together as a congregation and we can love you and we can worship you and we can love each other, dear Lord. And I just thank you so much for this wonderful congregation and the youth group that are willing to step outside their comfort zones to do some different things to worship you. And I pray that everything done this morning, that you would just shine through, that we see you and everything else would fade away. Dear Lord, and I just pray that you be here in spirit with us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so I'm going to be looking at the book of Mark today, and specifically Mark chapter 17. I am going to go ahead and read through the whole chapter. Luckily, it's Mark. It's a short chapter. But stay with me as I read. But if you want to follow along, it will be Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. And after these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterwards, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at a table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. So this verse, in some form or another, in one of the Gospels, is something that most of us know. It's a verse that we see every year around Easter time when we are celebrating the resurrection of Christ. But there is something in this chapter that some of y'all might have not seen before. In some Bibles, if you look right after verse 8, you'll see this little notation. And it says, some of the earliest manuscripts do not include verses 9 through 20. And so some of the ancient Greek and Latin manuscripts do not include this last section of Mark. And scholars that have looked at this do believe that the language and writing in this last section is a little different than the rest of Mark's writings. So they believe that it was written and added in at a later date. But here's the thing. We do know this last section of Mark happened. Not only because it's written here, but it's written in the three other Gospels. It's written in Matthew and Luke and John in even greater detail. So this year in youth, the junior high students were going through the New Testament with me. And when we started looking at the Gospels, I told them that the four Gospels are four narratives of the same story. They all have the same characters, the same plot line, the same message, but each author focuses on a few different details. And so I told them, think of it like this. Think of it if I took all of you to watch a movie, the same movie, same character, same plot line, same beginning, same ending, right? And then I told you to come back and tell me the movie. Well, they all went to the same movie. They saw the same stuff, but each of them is probably going to focus on different details. They're going to tell me slightly different things because each of them are going to have their favorite parts, the things that stood out to them, their own views and opinions. But by the time they all get done telling me that, I'm going to have a pretty good idea of what this movie was, how it went. I think we can apply the same idea to the Gospels. You might not get the full picture by looking at just one of the books. I really do believe that they are meant to be read together to get the full story of the life and ministry of Jesus. So if that's the case, and the rest of the Gospels back up what these last verses of Mark say, then why is that annotation needed that the last part of that story might have not actually been written by Mark? How many of you know the quote, "and that's the rest of the story"? Yeah? So those that are y'all chuckling are probably looking at me going, how do you know the rest of the story? How old are you again? Right? The rest of the story is a quote from the Paul Harvey radio show, The Rest of the Story. It started during World War II and then was picked up in 1976 by ABC Radio. And Paul Harvey would go into these stories and present them as little to known or forgotten facts on a variety of subjects. And he would always conclude the program with the line, "and that's the rest of the story." And I know this because my history teacher would read us they made it into a book, and he would read these stories at the beginning of our history class. And what we thought was a story that we knew turned out to be a story that maybe we didn't have the full picture to. And I feel like that if we didn't have the rest of the Gospels, this part of Mark could have easily fallen into his radio show as, "and that's the rest of the story." But we do know the rest of the story. We luckily do. We know that it doesn't end here. We know it keeps going, that Jesus rose from the dead. He appeared to his disciples. He gave them words of encouragement, some last lessons, and he gives them the Great Commission and then ascends to heaven. But what if we didn't have that ending? What if the Gospels ended with verse 8, which is, "and they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." That's not a very encouraging ending, right? That would not have been a good note to end on. So again, I pose the question, why is that notation there? And why is it significant? Well, I believe that everything in this Bible is the inspired word of God. That he has everything in there for a reason, for a purpose. So what could be the purpose behind this notation? I don't think it's to make you question the validity of the ending. Because like I said, we see that ending multiple times, so we know it happened. So I don't think it's to question the validity of the ending. I think it's to make us realize how important that ending actually is. So for a moment, hang with me here. Let's look at a scenario where we ask the question, what if that was the ending? Where would the story have been left if it ended with, and they said they were afraid and they said nothing to no one? So the women at the tomb that had stood by Jesus, even during his crucifixion, would have been left in fear. They had this news given to them that they did not know how to present to other people, and they were afraid. And they wouldn't have spoken to the disciples or anyone, so the Roman officials would have been able to tell people that Jesus was still in that grave or that someone had stolen the body without any contradiction. And then who did the women go to next? Well, the disciples. The disciples also would have been left in fear. They were hiding, unsure about what their life was going to look like from now on. Would they be hunted for their connection to Jesus? Would they move on in their different directions and not speak again? They had just lost their leader, who at this point they believed was dead and buried in the tomb. Their hope seemed to be gone, and they did not have a direction anymore. This was the man that they laid down everything to follow, who changed their lives, who taught them, and who they believed would be the one to save them. They believed Jesus was the Old Testament prophesied king who would bring the kingdom of Israel back into glory, and he was dead. The person who they loved and gave their whole life to was dead, and not only was he dead, but all but one of them abandoned him during his darkest hours. I can only imagine how confused, ashamed, and absolutely devastated that they were. And then there's Peter. Now, I purposely put Peter separate from the rest of the disciples for a reason. In verse 7, the angel tells the women, "Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee." Peter, at this point, is in such a state of shame at this point in the story, that Jesus knew he needed to specify that Peter needed to also be told that he lived. Peter had done exactly what Jesus said he would do. He denied Jesus 3 times. Even when just a little while before at the Last Supper, he told Jesus, "I will never leave you. Everybody else might abandon you, but I won't." He said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And then he did just that. He betrayed the man that he had given up everything to follow. Peter, who was the first of the disciples to say, "Jesus, you are the Son of God." And it says when he realized what he's done, he broke down and he wept. So this separation of Peter from the rest of the disciples was a separation that Peter initiated himself. And this message the women were given was supposed to show Peter that he is still in Jesus' heart. But if the women never delivered that message, where would that leave Peter? I imagine he had so much shame and guilt in what he had done that he had lost his sense of purpose and identity that he had found in Christ. Okay. So I know y'all might be thinking, okay, yes, that's not good. That would be a terrible ending, but that's not how it ended. So it's fine. Everything's fine. And that would be right. We do know the rest of the story. We know what happens. But I know, at least in my case, when I study this part of Scripture in any of the Gospels, I have this tendency to stop early. I rejoice that Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and now I can have this amazing relationship with God. But I don't remember growing up really ever studying what happens after Jesus rose from the dead, other than maybe in vacation Bible school, learning he made his disciples breakfast, which I thought was really cool. But I never really studied this part of Scripture till I got into college. And I'm sitting in my New Testament class, and my professor comes to this point that fear had seized them. They said nothing to no one, for they were afraid. And then he goes to the annotation And he stops and he kind of chuckles. And he says, y'all let me know if you ever hear an Easter sermon on that, because I want to hear it. And that got me thinking, it's like, why is that annotation there? Why, what could be the purpose? And so I believe that notation is there to make us pause, to grab our attention, because it's not something you see in the Bible very often. So I think it's to make us pause and realize the importance of what came next. So what came next? Well, first, the women did speak up. Now, I am not a loud-spoken feminist that goes to rallies and stuff like that, right? But I believe in equal rights. I believe in women leading churches. And as a female youth pastor, I naturally gravitate towards this point of significance for women going forward. Women at that time were not usually in positions of power or leaders. They were meant to run the household and they were meant to raise children. And yet the women were the ones, along with John, that stayed with Jesus till the end and went to tend his bodies. And they were the first one that Jesus appeared to. And I think that's important. I think that is Jesus showing his view of equality, right? And so I think it's important to take that in. And then the women had the courage to overcome their first reaction of fear and tell the disciples what they had seen, even though they knew they probably wouldn't be believed. And then after he rose from the dead, he forgave Peter. Peter was still in this state of grief over betraying Jesus. But Jesus did forgive him. Not only did he forgive him, but he continued to teach him. He gave him instruction. We see in scripture that Jesus asked Peter 3 times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? By the last time, Peter's like, I get it. Yep, I love you. I made a mistake, but I love you. And Jesus says after each time, he says, feed my sheep, tend to my sheep. And so Jesus wasn't done teaching yet. He didn't die on that cross and then stop. He's giving his disciples some last lessons. And one of those is, if you love me, if you love God, then you have to love those around you, which led into the great commission he gave before he ascended. He told the disciples, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And I love the importance of that verse, the importance of it still today, that we're still following this command that he gave us. And the disciples, they turned around and they did this. In Acts chapter 2, not too long after this, we see them preaching at Pentecost. They're up on this roof speaking to this crowd, and they start speaking in different languages, in different tongues, so everyone could understand them, just like Jesus said they would. And the people that were there, they thought the disciples were crazy or they were drunk, because obviously there's no other answer. But Peter got up and he said, no, we're not drunk. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that day they baptized about 3,000 people. 3,000 people were brought to God in one day with one collective sermon, all because the disciples were brave and bold in their faith and they followed what Jesus told them to do. Today we started the service with a brand new song, and it's a new song by Casting Crowns called Crazy People. I was driving home to lunch one day, and it came on the radio, and I was like, oh, this is good. Oh, I love this, right? It just had me smiling the whole way home. You ever have that song that comes on the radio? You've never heard it before, but instantly your mood, like, perks up. That was this song for me. So I came home, I came back to work, and I said, Brent, we have to do this for Youth Sunday. I absolutely love this song. And he said, okay. And so I want to look at the lyrics again of these two verses in the chorus. And it goes, who builds a boat with no clouds in sight? who walks up to a giant and picks a fight, who turns a lion's den into a petting zoo, who can have church in the fiery furnace. Well, I'll tell you who. Crazy people trusting in Jesus, following him wherever he leads us. Kingdom seekers, walk by faith believers. Here's the church, here's the steeple, here's to all God's crazy people. Who brings a Bible into a public school, who shares a gospel even when the world calls them a fool, and who's not afraid to go against the flow. And I love the lyrics. And before the song even started playing, what really caught my attention was they interviewed the lead singer of Casting Crowns to tell the story behind this song. And I loved it. So I have the video of him explaining it, if it'll play.
Crazy people trust in Jesus. One of the things, if you've walked with Jesus for a little while, you've probably discovered people look at us like we're a little different. As a matter of fact, Paul, I believe in 1 Corinthians 1, says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's only seen through faith. We follow a God we've never seen. We pray to a God we've never heard. And on faith, we put all the weight of our life in this God that we've never seen, that we know is real. Let me just tell you, that looks a little crazy to the world. Hebrews chapter 11. It's called, I've always called it the Hall of Faith, right? Walks through the faith of Abraham, Noah, Moses, all these people who stepped out. I'm just telling you, Noah, number one, you come home from work and your neighbor is building a giant boat the size of a football field in his yard, and he tells you God told him to do it. What are you gonna think about your neighbor? That guy's crazy. I think all the people that we would consider heroes in the Bible, the things that they would do, the steps that they would take, to follow a God that they've never seen, the world sees that as crazy. And I say, this world could use some more crazy people. We need some people that start loving people like crazy. We start serving like crazy. We start stepping out, giving like crazy. Being the people that God needs us to be to reach the people that God loves is gonna take us stepping out of the ordinary and doing stuff somebody might just call crazy. Maybe it's time you get crazy.
I love that song. I love a lot of Casting Crowns songs. They seem to challenge you, right? But it's completely true. I mean, I completely agree that if I walked into my front yard and my neighbor was building an ark, I'd be like, ooh, that person's a little crazy. But that's the kind of boldness that we're called to be in our faith. Jesus tells his disciples before he rises that they are to go out and share the gospel with everyone. I'm sure that was a very daunting task. It's still a daunting task today to share the gospel with people. And they went into it knowing that they would probably be disliked, called crazy, and persecuted for doing it. And I'm sure those women that went to the disciples to tell them Jesus is alive knew that they sounded a little crazy. After all, these were the women that followed Jesus to the cross, watched him die, watched the soldier pierce his side, and watched him laid in the tomb. And yet they were going to tell the disciples, he's not in there anymore, he's up, he's walking, he's alive. Yeah, that would probably sound a little crazy. And yet those women and the disciples, they proclaimed their good news, and they did it boldly. They were okay with being crazy as long as they were being crazy for God. And so my question today, church, is are we living out the rest of that story today? Are we still those crazy people? Are we stepping out of our comfort zone to bring those around us to Christ? Because him dying on the cross and rising from the grave, that saved us. But without us sharing that good news, without someone sharing and telling us that good news and teaching us, where would we be today? So that's my challenge for us today, to be bold in our faith, to live out the rest of the story, and maybe just be a little crazy. So if the praise team will come up while I close us in prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful day. And I thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that we can go out there boldly to be ourselves and be the hands and feet of you, dear Lord, that you are always with us. I pray that we have a sense of peace and security and just have a heart to love our neighbors and those around us. And I pray that we all have a wonderful week and go out with your Holy Spirit filling us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So, like she said, I was like, hey, Shauna, you want to do this? No. No. I was shocked when she came back from lunch, but I had no doubt that she'd kill it. So, please stand and join us as we do our closing song. And then after service, don't forget, if you do want to talk to any of Pastor Billy or Pastor Jeff, one of them will be out in the lobby over here in on the east side of the lobby. And then also after our service concludes, we do have people on a prayer team that are willing to pray with you over anything and everything that you might need prayer for. As we can see many times in Scripture, prayer changes things. And so don't allow yourself to not experience that change before you leave if you need it. So they will be up here after service, and they will be willing and ready to pray with anybody that wants to.
Thank you.
have an absolutely amazing week, that you go out knowing that God is filling you with His Holy Spirit, that you can go out and live out the rest of the story boldly and be a little crazy for God. I hope you have a great week. You are dismissed.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.